musically, what do you think separates you from everybody else?
Man, you know, I think there's several things. Our music's really, it's honest. It's 100% honest. There's no overfabrication of any kind of story or anything. Like, I can sit down and tell you case by case on each song and how it affected me. You know, my life is in that, in the writing from these songs. So there's that. We're a live band. We love playing live, and it's kind of our forte. We like to explode on stage, man. We like to have all the energy, the connection with the crowd. You know, it's a primal thing, and it's what we thrive off of. Also live, this is all of us. We've spent hours and hours and hours polishing our craft and trying to just make everything perfect, you know? And we don't run any tracks live. We don't run any vocal tracks. We don't run any music tracks or anything like that. What you see is what you get. It's real rock and roll. And we're the same people on stage as we are off stage. It doesn't change. We love, the connection with our friends and our fans and people that have gotten close to us through touring. And, you know, it's just that primal state. It's energy. It's connection. That's what we give. I believe that's what sets us apart. Yeah.
If you could tell us, you know, the story behind Some Kind of Perfect, that would be fantastic. Like, how did that song all come about? It's got, like, this almost Three Doors Down kind of feeling in the beginning, and then it just goes into something completely different. So if you could just tell us where that came from, that'd be great.
Sure, man. Some Kind of Perfect is, you know, it's funny, when I'm asked this question, it really, there's a couple of answers that I could choose from, because the song started about one thing, and now that life has been lived and I've gone through things in my own life, it's kind of manifest itself into something completely different. To begin with, it was about a member of this band that couldn't get over certain things and certain obstacles in their life. And we eventually had to part ways, and they left on their own accord. But they expected me to go with them. You know, it was one of the first people that I really, when I got into this rock scene, the first people who introduced me to everybody, it was pretty much, you know, we were like right and left, you know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. We were a team. And I didn't go. I told him, I said, man, I can't let I can't let your problems interfere with what I'm supposed to do. And I was like, I can't leave this project. I had too much invested in it, like too much of my heart is invested in this. And I'm not going to leave just because you're leaving. And he left. And, you know, I heard somebody say one time, I think it was in a movie, sometimes you have to update your fairy tale or your ending. It doesn't always happen the way it's supposed to happen or it doesn't always happen the way we think it's going to happen. And oftentimes the way we think it's going to happen is not the way it's supposed to happen. So every now and then you have to change it up. You have to realize that it's a different road that you go down. And, you know, that's pretty much what it's about. It's about finding your own version of perfect, not everybody else. It's kind of like that Motley Crue song, Stick to Your Guns, because what's right for you ain't right for everyone, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. What are some of the band's influences? What do you guys listen to when you're not jamming out?
Oh, man. We're a band without prejudice. Like, we love music no matter what genre it is or what style or anything. We're from Memphis, so we're big Elvis fans, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, all old school greats. I grew up listening to Motown, rhythm and blues, Prince, U2, Metallica, Motley Crue, on into, you know, Down,
nice.
Pantera, Richard Marx,
That's great.
You know, like, I could go all day, man. It's, we're just a melting pot of everything. Hank, you got Garth Brooks. I mean, everybody that just got out and did something different really didn't care what other people thought about it. You know, that's where we get a lot of influence from. I listen to Wu-Tang. Nice. You know, Wiz Khalifa. I listen to everything. And it's just, we're influenced by every sound that you can possibly come up with, and everything that happens in life is what forms what we do. It's why we sound the way we sound, why we say what we say.
How do you want Burn in the Spotlight to ultimately be remembered? Like, if somebody, you know, mentions, oh, yeah, you remember that Surrender the Fool album? Like, a couple of years from now, what would you like them to say? How would you want them to be affected by it?
You know, I've given my opinion on other albums before in the past, and I think it'd be cool with people saying that there are songs on the record that don't go to radio that are better than the songs that are on the radio. Like, there's, you know, there's those songs that are hooky and catchy and sound great on the radio, and everybody takes it and all this kind of stuff, you know, not just for my band, but for anybody. And, but I found myself, you know, how sometimes, like before, you had to buy the whole record to get the one song, you know?
Yeah.
And so you give the rest of a record a listen, and you figure out that there's so many songs on there that you connect to and that you relate to. You know, it's like the special hidden tracks. You know, even the hidden tracks used to be on music, but you had to fast forward 14 minutes after the last song. You know what I mean? To get to that hidden track, but it was so good, and you could fast forward. You could never get a recording of it. You know what I'm saying? We can just put it in and listen to it, you know?
Yeah.
It's something special. It's something that people have to, you know, have to talk about that record to go, hey, did you hear about the hidden track on there? You know, and then all of a sudden there's a buzz going, something interesting, you know? And it's the same way with our live show. We want to create a moment that people can take with them, whether it be moments on the record where it hit them so hard that they got goosebumps, or moments in the live show where they talk about it for the next month. Man, when I went to the Surrender the Paul show, I saw so-and-so do a double back flip off the drum riser and go into the splits. Nobody's going to do that, but it's cool as hell. But that's what I mean, like, the moments that you get from music. You know, everybody wants to be charged, you know, in that way. They want something to believe in and something to hold on to. I would love for this record to be that for anyone.
Considering the way the music industry is, and you kind of hit the nail on the head before when you were talking how, you know, the full album experience isn't what it used to be, and people download, you know, one song at a time, what song do you feel like is a song that they should download to kind of get an idea of what you're all about before they, you know, jump into the full album?
Oh, wow, that's a good question. You know, man, that's really hard to answer. I think this record has something for everybody. You know, I think it's got the heavy, aggressive side of rock and roll. I think it's got the commercial side of rock and roll. I think it's got the ballad side of music, you know, and all those elements that kind of, you know, it's got a progressive feel to it. You know, there's so many different facets of this record. There's a couple of songs on there that could sound a little country, you know what I'm saying? And it's all, we sat down and we decided, we're just going to write good songs. We're not going to go typecast ourselves in a genre and pigeonhole ourselves, because that's how you get stuck. So we just decided to write good songs. It's a little fast, it's a little slow, a little punk, a little country, a little rock and roll, however you do it, you know? And that's how we did it. As far as what song, I don't know. There's a song called 40 and 12. The hook of it's 40 more ounces and 12 cigarettes. I'm thinking that now is as good as it gets for you. But still you wanted more than I've got. You know? And it's a slow vibe for that song.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then there's other songs. like the title track is Everything You Want Me to Be. It's about people that want to talk trash about you, either in your scene or your city or, you know, in school or whatever. And the first line out of that is, I'm a dirtbag, a motherfucker, big ass, selfish son of a bitch. But it's saying that if you want to call me those things, it doesn't matter what you want to call me. I know who I really am, so I'll be whatever you want me to be. You know?
Yeah.
It's taking those and proving people wrong. Deeper Inside, just a lust-driven, drunken rock and roll song. You know, again, there's ballads. Some Kind of Perfect is kind of a love song. There's a song on there that hasn't really seen a lot of light. It's called Undesigned. And that's another kind of, Some Kind of Perfect feeling kind of vibe song. But there's a lot of stuff on there for everybody, man. It's not just, you know, floor to the floor rock and roll. You know, we slow it down. We pull the drums out. You know, we do different things, man. We like to write all over the spectrum and not just in one genre.
Is there anything else that you want to say to your current loyal fans or to anyone that's like listening to this interview and wants to check you guys out?
Man, thank you to everybody that's stuck with us since day one, and you know, all the new friends that we've got along the way. But anybody that hasn't heard us, you can go on YouTube and check out some live videos. Our video for Love Hate Masquerade on YouTube. You can go to MTV.com and check out our latest video for Some Kind of Perfect. If you like it, check out some live videos. If you think it's fun, come to a show so we can say thank you in person.